Welcome to episode number 49. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Akechi Wafa Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving, and I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin.
Yes, great day. Amazing humans, welcome to the next episode of the Own Your Thrive podcast. Today, I am joined by a very proud Indigenous woman from Curve Lake First Nations located here in Southern Ontario. She's a colleague of mine. She works at the same bank as I do, and her role is communications and colleague engagement. She enjoys teaching people about her Indigenous culture. She acts as a dedicated ally to other diverse groups such as LGBTQ+, Black Lives Matter, persons with disabilities. She is a public speaker and an Indigenous advocate for people in her community. She brings a lot of experience and insight to the table, and I'm so excited to get this interview going. So put your ears together for the amazing Mary Wildman. Yes!
Thanks, Nakechi. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem. How are you doing, Mary?
So glad. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm amazing. And we get to share energy with each other for the next 30 minutes. And I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
So let's get started. Tell us about the person, the brand that is Mary Wildman.
Well, Mary Wildman, I would say, is definitely dedicated, driven, fierce, and isn't scared or shy to take on new challenges.
Ooh, that's good. And so this is a great lead-in because I'm curious to know, my great I am God's gift, which is the meaning of my name, so in Kichinera, and I'm energy, which is something that is my superpower. So what is your great I am?
I would absolutely probably say that I am a great people person, and I definitely make people laugh a lot. People just always say, if I want to have a laugh, I'm going to go to Mary and see what Mary's up to, because she always cracks me up.
Yes, I've heard that many a times. So I believe that this time that we're here with each other is time well spent for not only us, but also our listeners. And as you know, taking from Maya Angelou, our legacy is left in every experience. And so this one is going to be like no other. And I want to know, what legacy do you want to leave on this call with the listeners?
What I would like to leave with the listeners on this podcast is to bring more awareness to the Indigenous culture and just hone in more on like the lens, just so people can get a better understanding. And maybe if they want to, you know, take part in some events that happen in the community or anyone surrounding area, I just would definitely like to just engage people with that.
I love it. So let's get them educated. Let's get going. So we are in a period of isolation, and you would have been like me, isolating for God knows since March 11th or 12th now. What have you learned most about yourself during this period?
To be able to actually enjoy my own company, probably. That is probably something that I feel that I've really learned over this whole isolation and staying at home, working from home, getting to enjoy myself and taking a breather and a lot of reflection time.
And so where and who are you hunkered down with?
Myself in Toronto. I live close to downtown.
Okay.
Not too far from work, but I live in a great neighborhood over here. So
So as you've been hunkered down with yourself and you're getting to enjoy your own company, are you making your own self laugh?
Yeah. I go out for daily walks and I find myself even talking to like random people on the sidewalk. I'm like, hey, how's your day? How are you doing? And they're like, oh, I'm wonderful. How are you? And they kind of like almost look at me sideways because we're supposed to be like social distancing. But I'm like, hello.
So you talked about wanting us to leave myself and the listeners with more awareness of the Indigenous culture. And so we are actually in interesting and unprecedented times right now with what's happening with the pandemic. And then there's a big movement with Black Lives Matter. And one of the biggest things I'll tell you as a Black person that I have actually have just been sort of sharing over the last little while are all of the stereotypes and the false beliefs and the biases that people have of Black people and how that really is perpetuating the cycle of racism and trying to really explain that to everyone. And I trust you have the same. So I'd love if you can even just start with some education there. What are some of the main stereotypes that people often mistakenly attribute with the Indigenous culture?
A lot of people mistaken Indigenous folks for being lazy, lack of education. Most Indigenous people grow up in like remote areas on reservations and stuff, so they don't get the privilege to necessarily attend a normal school. I was fortunate that I got to attend a normal school in the city, but there's a lot of folks that don't, and they are out on the reservations, and some children are like struggling with parents that suffer from alcoholism. And just because there's such a stigma with that, I find that's been going on for such a long time, for like several years, that every person seems to have that stigma that, oh wow, like, so like you're Indigenous, so like, you know, you're like, do you drink all the time? And I'm like, no. So there's always that sort of you know, it's really sad that like it comes with that like Indigenous people like are just frowned upon, like they're not gonna achieve their goals or become anything like in their life. It's really like just sad, and I just want to be like a voice for like, you know, some of those like women and like men that don't, you know, that are maybe shy to actually, you know, open up about like their experiences or, you know, need some help with wanting to achieve some of their dreams and goals.
Mm-hmm. And so talk to us about your journey to where you are now and from where you grew up.
Okay. My journey. So I, as you said earlier, I'm from Curve Lake First Nations, mm-hmm. which is out on the outskirts of Peterborough. If anyone has heard of Peterborough, it is out there. And so I basically spent my whole life in Peterborough till 2 years ago. And I basically needed a change. I knew I needed a job change, career change, everything change. So then I just applied to TD Bank. And then lo and behold, here I am 2 years later. And I would say it's been an amazing journey and ride. I've met a lot of amazing people. I've met some people that you have already had on your podcast, which are amazing folks. And I'm just really, really honored and humbled that I got to just be given this like opportunity and gift to like just be a voice for everybody and just showcase what I can do and what I'm made of.
Mm-hmm. And I see you as someone that's thriving, and that is why you're on this podcast for sure. And I believe that our tribe a lot of times comes out of our biggest struggles. And so whether it's in those last 2 years or prior to that, what were some of the biggest barriers or obstacles, challenges that you've had to overcome?
In the last 2 years, the biggest thing was probably leaving home, what I had known for so long. Mm-hmm. Basically, my normal surroundings and area, you know, people from my reserve and just some familiarity. And I just definitely, that was hard because I got really like homesick when I like moved to Toronto. So it was a bit of an adjustment, and like everyone is, you know, Toronto, everyone knows that like everyone is always in a rush. So back home, no one's in a rush to go anywhere. So everyone's rushing to catch that subway or running up the escalator. So it's just, but I never do that. So people can look at me weird, but no, I take my time.
So 2 years later, you're still taking your time.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, quite honest, I have to just, you brought up a memory. When I first moved to Toronto from Montreal, I saw the exact same thing. And the weirdest thing was I saw that women wore running shoes with dresses, right? With skirts. So they could run from the train to wherever they were going. But sadly, I've adopted it years later. But I find the shiniest kicks I can find to wear with my dresses. But yeah, I get the hustle and bustle. And so, you know, to all of our listeners, and that challenge of leaving home is not easy. Were you traveling back and forth at the onset, or did you really just make that decision? I'm moving to Toronto and I need to find my way here.
Actually, that's pretty much what happened. It was pretty much, I was given maybe like 2 weeks notice. Mm-hmm. And I had to just go. I was starting in 2 weeks and I just packed everything up, mm-hmm. came to Toronto. I didn't have a place right away, so I ended up staying with a friend till I found my own place. And then, yeah, till I got all settled in that. But it was probably the best decision I've ever made. So as much as it was scary, it was definitely well worth it.
And so if you think back in those 2 years and you think about the biggest character traits or survival mechanisms that have grown in you, what would those be?
Probably resilience, definitely. Like resilience, because it was a bit of like an unknown to me. I didn't know, you know, if I was going to be successful, like in the banking sector. I didn't know, you know, was I going to make new friends? Was I going to, you know, just fit in like with like the culture here and everyone else? I was a bit nervous and I was definitely apprehensive, but I definitely took everything that came at me in a positive light. So I was very fortunate.
And how have you been able to maintain, because one of the things for everyone that's listening, you posted an amazing video the other day, and I will put it in the show notes so that people can access it. And it taught me, I watched it taught me about your culture. And so how have you been able to maintain that? And how do you integrate that into this new culture of, you know, that you've been absorbed into as part of being in downtown Toronto? And then obviously the TV culture.
Well, I've gotten connected with a lot of Native Indigenous organizations here in Toronto, which has helped. So there's been the familiarity there with like Aboriginal Legal Services. They have great resources for anyone who needs help in the community down there. They have the Native Canadian Center over on Spadina. They have amazing programs for parents and just young adults and everything over there. It's just, it's really good. They have a well-rounded circle of people there for support. So I really, I think a lot of people are just so thankful and blessed that that is definitely available.
I love how you infuse your culture, right? Like it is part of who you are, and you're unapologetic about that. And I think that that's really important. Like you haven't lost yourself, but you know, but more so than that, you're bringing us along into the journey of that. And so, you know, how are you, can you talk about some of the ways that you are doing that personally?
How I'm doing that is I think I'm bringing a lot of awareness, especially like with our TD culture, mm-hmm. at the bank, because a lot of people haven't been familiar with Indigenous culture. Mm-hmm. So they really appreciate like learning off of me. And I've gotten so many compliments on like the video that I did, because a lot of people just really, really appreciate it. And they were just really like engrossed in it. And I got just a lot of heartfelt like messages just saying, you know, that's amazing. I'm just glad that you're doing this for everybody. You're speaking up and you're just being a voice. And I'm just like, I'm so happy that the content that I'm putting out there for folks, mm-hmm. that they're just really receptive of it. And I'm touching them. So the fact that I'm touching them and they're feeling great is making me feel even more amazing than what I already was just for bringing that out.
And I think you're touching and teaching. And so earlier on, you touched on the stereotypes. Have any of those people that you've been connecting with, have they been honest about stereotypes that they've shared? Like I said, this is my lived experience right now where having those difficult conversations is really necessary in order to really, you know, affect real, meaningful, and sustainable change. Has your experience been similar? Have you had people be really honest about biases, stereotypes, and you've had those tough conversations?
Yes, I would say I've had those real tough conversations with some of the Indigenous folks for sure, because people are just, I think a lot of people, like, it's easy to assume and kind of judge rather than just try and ask to find out information. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's like, it's very hurtful, right? Because people, instead of just trying to befriend somebody, they just think, you know, judge, but you know, people have feelings and it's rough. But I've had like open candid conversations about, you know, people always like, we get the main thing that is really like a stereotype is that a lot of people will say like Indigenous people don't have to pay tax. That's like a huge thing that everyone thinks that's the case, and that's not the case.
So what is the truth?
I definitely elaborate on that. Well, we have like as our right, we have our Indigenous card, basically, but it only helps us out for certain things within our government, and that's so like, you know, if we need prescription drugs or, you know, if we had to have a trip to the dentist or something, it helps out that way. But people think that no, Indigenous people, they just take, you know, the government for everything and they get everything for free. And like that is really like brought up a lot. It's like, no, that's not true. You know, we work, you know, just as hard as other races and ethnicities. We give our all, but it's just under that, like, because everyone's aware of that, so they just assume. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, I think a lot of people are just scared to be more, like, knowledgeable and ask questions.
And I want you to use this platform. So if there's, like, so that one, thank you for that. If there's, what other stereotypes would you like to use this platform to start shutting down?
Individuals need to stop thinking that Indigenous people are like, they're not going to be able to achieve anything. Mm-hmm. Like that is like a huge thing, because like people get frowned upon, mm-hmm. said, you know, mean things to and everything, but that's not true. Like if you, you know, if you have a great mentor or ally in your corner, mm-hmm. and that anything's possible, mm-hmm. and they can help you like achieve anything. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone needs to be more, you know, more like open and nicer, and they need to just be more kinder, because too many people like are just really, really, you know, they say a lot of hateful stuff, and it can, you know, words can really crush you.
And I actually share those sentiments that you just, you know, touched us with, because it's very easy to sit there and judge and, you know, you're not going to be able to achieve anything, but how about you who's achieving put out a hand to have me grab onto? You know, sometimes it's even just that, you know, it's a way to sort of put space between the judgment and what you can actually do to help another human being.
Absolutely. I would definitely say that everyone needs to put their hand out to help people rather than, you know,
judging that they're not going to be able
to. Yeah, judging and turning your back is definitely not a way to, you know, be, it's not a way to be a good individual.
No.
That's for sure.
No, not a good corporate citizen of the world. Definitely no. not. Is there another stereotype? So that's two we're shutting down. Is there a third that we want to shut down tonight?
Like, one thing that I would really, really like is just for other, like, individuals from other, like, ethnicities and that, just to, you know, take the time to learn more about Indigenous culture would just be, like, really awesome. It would be okay. awesome to just drive that home and just be open and, you know, just in experience, embrace, you know, ask questions, don't, you know, be shy to turn away.
And Mary, I do want to actually fess up and tell you that you are my first Indigenous human that I've had on this, and then you're also a woman, I love that, on this podcast. So very, very excited and really Woo! Open. Yeah, really open you. To get some input from you on who else I can bring in. So now I'm African, and you know, our culture is rich with traditions. And I know yours are, and I saw some of that through the video that you shared. What are some of your favorite traditions, or the ones that you want to share here today?
One of my favorite traditions is probably our ceremonies mm-hmm. that we have, or powwows. So that's probably like awesome, like just the drumming, the women dancing in like their moccasins and the jingle dress dancers. And just, there's just something about that drum when that drum is beating and knowing you hear like the elders, just because the elders know how to sing so well. And they got like such strong like vocals. It just like, you get goosebumps. Just like when you hear it, it's like completely like amazing. It gives you chills. Like every time, it never fails. Anytime that I'm in ceremony or I attend a powwow, I always get chills.
I can attest to that. But these ceremonies and powwows, do they happen for special occasions? Is there a certain time of the year, the month?
Depending on which reservation mm-hmm. you're from, different reservations have their powwows at different times of the year. Mm-hmm. So my reservation has their powwow about every year, the second weekend of September. And it's a 2-day thing. Mm-hmm. And it starts at sunrise. So there's a sunrise ceremony, and then it goes all day long, all the way to sundown. So that's how that goes. So it's like, it's really awesome. But this year, everything is going to have to be virtual due to COVID. So we're not going to be able to have anything.
Have you had a ceremony, or have you experienced any type of ceremony yet virtually?
Yes. Yes, we did actually. Last week with the bank, we had our first, we celebrated this year because Indigenous Peoples yes. Day was on June 21st. That's right. So we had our virtual event last week.
Okay.
So we were able to, we had a lot of people on the call for that. So that was pretty awesome.
One of the last things I want to ask you, because I found it and I'm hoping to get more education about it. And you'll have to tell me the right term around it, but you have an eagle representation as it relates to, is it your tribe?
Well, what happens is when you get each Indigenous person, if they want to, are given a spirit name. Mm-hmm. And like it's through a ceremony that's done by an elder, and it's a bunch of like the smoking of the pipe and the drum and everything, because the elder just like sees visions, and you know, he just has like a lot of wisdom, and he comes with a lot of years mm-hmm. of like knowledge. So that's basically what happened. So I ended up getting my spirit name is Red Turtle Woman. Mm-hmm. And I am from the Eagle Clan, and eagles are leaders. And also because they fly the highest in the sky. So they're the closest to Creator.
So I've come to the part of the interview where I'm going to ask you some rapid thriver questions.
So okay.
But before I do, I want to ask you, what's the most important thing you've learned in your life?
probably would be patience. Yeah, definitely be patience, because I definitely, most of my life, I have not had patience at all. I've always been in a hurry to do things, and I can't slow down. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say it's patience. But and it took for me to like move to Toronto and this new career and job to like gain like patience. That's where I've, you know, basically have grown and found myself, because like it takes patience to, you know, adapt to like a new job, new like surroundings and new individuals that you're working with. So it takes a lot. So you have to just breathe and just have faith that everything's going to be okay.
And when you reflect on the Mary before you learned that, and the Mary that is now here with me on this call, what is the key difference in her spirit?
The key difference is probably that I'm definitely more happier. Oh. That's for sure. I'm more of a happier person, definitely. And I'm have like a lot of optimism. Mm-hmm. And I definitely am looking forward to the future and all exciting things that are in store for me.
And you deserve it all. There's some big plans in your life, love. Big plans in your life. So soar like an eagle. So here I am with your rapid thriver questions. So the first one is, when you think of someone in your life, or you know, that inspires you, that you would look at as being a thriver, who is that and why?
Someone in my life that inspires me. I would probably have to say someone who's near and dear to my heart that's been on your podcast would be Jodi Kovetz.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I would say so. Like, she has a heart of gold. She's amazing. Yes. She's the one that introduced me to like this whole public speaking platform. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've just like ran with it and embraced it. And, you know, she believed in me. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely, you know, I couldn't ask for like anything like better. Like, it's yeah, just awesome.
She's
that someone
an amazing, amazing, wonderful human. Yeah,
she
indeed.
Is.
Yeah. So what is a daily activity that helps you with your thrive?
Probably walks. I definitely need to move.
Okay.
I need to move. I'm not hardcore at working out, but I do a lot of walking.
Okay.
So I would say that like walking definitely helps to clear my mind. Being out, like seeing, you know, the trees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just whatever is going on outside is definitely helps.
What is a book that's helped you with your thrive?
A book. I would probably say Jodi's book. I've read her book twice now.
Yeah.
Actually, I read it over twice. So yeah, I would actually say definitely just the way that it was written was just so beautifully, because it was like her story, like how yes. she basically started Move the Dial, and I just like credit her for all her hard work and
for those that
everything
are
that
the book
she's
is
achieved.
The book is Go Out of Your Way by Jodi Kovetz.
Yes, that's what it is. Yes.
What is an app on your phone that helps you with your thrive?
An app on my phone. I would probably say LinkedIn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, that's okay. Hey,
I'm always
put content. You're on there. You put content on there. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would say LinkedIn, because also besides myself putting content on there, I like what other people post too.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to learn from other individuals and what they have to say and what they've done. It's like, it's exciting. It's like your newspaper on your phone.
Yes, yes. And last, what is a misconception that people have of you, Mary, as you're in your thrive?
Misconception of me. Probably, I think a lot of people think kind of like I'm a shy person.
Hmm.
Probably. I would say a lot of people mistaken me for a shy person. But I think it's because like I'm quiet, mm-hmm. like sometimes until I start talking, but I think just like my initial thing, a lot of people think I'm shy. I get that a lot.
I'm not.
I'm not shy. I'm just taking in what you're saying.
And you're pretty bold and courageous. And I know you for asking for what you want.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So we want to know more about you. Where do we find you online, my friend?
You can find me on LinkedIn. That's the number one place to find me.
Okay. As Mary Wildman?
Yep, Mary Wildman.
Okay. And I want you to finish the sentence. What the world needs now is?
A lot more love.
Mm. I love my love people. I love them. Anyone that says that, I just like, yes, another love person. All we got to do is fill up this world with more love people, man.
Yeah, everyone needs love.
Love has a redemptor. There's a redemptive power to love. Yes, indeed. So thank you so much for spending this loving energy with me, Mary. At the beginning, I asked you, you know, what do you hope to leave on this legacy? And it's really about more awareness to the Indigenous culture. And I thank you today for, you know, really starting to just bring even just some of the stereotypes into view, because I think that that's where change first has to start. We need to be able to alter our beliefs and our biases and be open to meeting people where they're at and getting to know who they are without judgment.
I absolutely agree with you.
So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And this is where, to all the listeners who've been putting their ears together, this is where I say, we're out. Yeah.
So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.